Today's scripture reading is Ephesians 2, 4 through 9. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened to us with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places with Jesus Christ, and that in the ages to come he might show his exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace we are saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast.
If it were not for grace, I wouldn't be here. If it wasn't for grace, you wouldn't be here either. So by God's grace, we are saved. I love it. Sometimes you don't really know where to start. A testimony can be a few words or it can be many. I put it into as few words as I could. With God, all things are possible. And I have found that out throughout my life, okay? We are all saved by grace, God's grace and his goodness. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. I praise God for that scene. I just thank him for that so much. Oh, let me start. This testimony is about, you know, it's about my family, it's about me, it's about how God can work in our life, how he worked in my life to get me where I am today. I was born in 1934. If you want to figure it out, I'm 84 now, and I'm thankful for every day. I wake up in the morning and say, praise the Lord, sunlight again, sunshine, clouds, rain, snow, who cares? You know we're alive, and praise the Lord for that. I had a big sister, Phyllis, and a little sister, Joyce, and when I was 15 years old, my mom had a little boy named Alan. He was my delight and my joy. I was 15, that's a perfect age to just take care of this little guy. I loved him so much. We were brought up knowing there was a God that lived in heaven and a devil who lived under the ground somewhere. And I also knew that when you died, you either went to heaven or you went to hell. And that was the devil was in charge of hell and you burned forever and ever. That's what I knew, okay? And so I knew really. Well, I knew a little bit more and I'll go on. When Jesus, we did know, and my mother taught us, that Jesus was born on Christmas Day. And that's why we had a tree with a star on the top, and we got presents, and we had a good dinner on that day. We also knew that Jesus died on the cross, and that's why the Easter Bunny came with baskets of candy and all that stuff, and that's why we did lots of eggs on Easter Sunday, okay? We boiled them, and we colored them, and we designed them. This is what I knew all about Easter, okay? Not very much. But anyway, we never read the Bible in our home. We never prayed. We never went to church, not even on Easter or Christmas, when a lot of people do go. My husband was Episcopalian, and I went with him twice, or went with him once. Well, I went to church twice. We went once on Christmas Day and once on Easter. Okay, that's the only time we ever went. You didn't have to go any more often than that if you were an Episcopal, okay? But you did have it. Those 2 days were important days. So we really didn't know. If we had even gone to church at all, if our parents had ever said, you know, I'm thankful my mother said there was a God and she taught us that much. That was God's plan. But our God was carrying out his plan in our lives, in my life at the beginning. So when I was in second grade, some people used to come to our school, would that they would do that now, and teach us some Bible verses. If we memorized them, they gave us a little Bible pin about that big around. I have a picture of my second grade picture, and I have my little Bible pin pinned to my collar. I love to learn these verses, and the first one I ever remember was John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Everybody knows that, okay? If they don't know any other verses in the Bible, they would know that one. So when I was about 12 years old, I would walk to church, and it was a Calvary Baptist church, and I was their angel in their Christmas play. And I did learn that. Remember what the angel said? Behold, I bring unto you. Okay, well, I learned that one. I bring tidings of great joy, and that really was. I went to high school, went down to Athens, and school was, well, school. I really liked reading, and I liked writing, and arithmetic was Greek to me, and it still is today. I never was, they taught us how to do them all, memorize the multiplication table. Well, I never knew. I memorized every one of them forward, backward, but honestly, I did not know how to use them. I didn't know if you had 3 times 7 was the same as 7, 7, and 7 and adding them up. I wasn't taught that. I don't know how I missed it, but I did. So anyhow, I didn't like that part of school. I took the home economics course, including the family relations. I was the first one in our class to have a divorce, so I didn't learn any much from that class. I liked some sports. We had a ping pong tournament, and I played that. I lost. We joined the tumbling team, and I was a cheerleader for 2 years. So this part of school was really good. I did like that. I loved being a cheerleader. Get out there, and you get these people excited about winning. I wish I could get people as excited about accepting Christ today, because they'd be real winners. So after graduating in June, I got married in September. My husband was in the Navy. I was 17 years old. And when we married, we had a sweet baby boy named Danny. Divorced at 21, Dan's grandparents raised him until his dad remarried. And Dan and his wife, Marilyn, now live in North Carolina. He is my Baptist, by the way, who is now studying Daniel and Revelation. I sent him that book, and he promised he would study. He said, I never understood it before. So now he is beginning to understand it, so God's going to hold him responsible, so please pray for them, okay? After the divorce, nothing much mattered. I got a job at Robert Packer Hospital running the manual elevator. And none of you probably here, most of you won't remember that, but they had one, you had to wear a little glove because you pulled these, constantly was pulling these doors back and forth, okay? And this was when Dr. Guthrie was there. You know, at the same time, all this time, God is working in my life. It was absolutely, I'm amazing grace, and I'm telling you, when I get all through, it's the more amazed I am at how he calls us. So he had a plan for my life. So there was a man that got on the elevator, and he was visiting his mother, and he asked me, don't you get tired of going all these miles all day long and getting off the same place you start? I said, well, yeah. So he was a foreman at the label factory, so he brought me an application, I filled it out, and I got a job there. I worked over the label factory in Sarah for about 7 years, something like that. After I got this job, I was living with no purpose, no meaning. I loved to dance, country music, square dancing, but God still has a plan. My dad died in 1956. Mom and my brother, then 6 years old, couldn't stay on the hill because without my dad there, they just couldn't do it. So we moved my mom and my brother down to an apartment down in Sarah. She got a job at a Grant's, which used to be like a 5 and 10 cent store, And I was still working at the label factory, and I took a second job as a waitress at Tex Walker's restaurant in Waverly. Probably most of you don't remember. You had foot-long hot dogs, okay, and we sold a lot of those. But we got along, but it wasn't easy. 3 years later, my mother remarried. My brother was 9 years old. My stepfather's name was L.J. Levi John, and he was a Seventh-day Adventist. So this is still God's plan continuing. It's just amazing how he works. So he got me interested in studying the Bible, so I was baptized as a Seventh-day Adventist. I came in the front door and just as quickly went out the back door. Okay, it didn't stick. Okay, I'm sorry it didn't. I really wanted children, so I remarried, and I had a little boy, David, and then I divorced. I really didn't want a husband. I just wanted a baby. Okay, I love children, and that's all there was to it. So anyway, we got a divorce. And David, when he was born, he only weighed 3 pounds, 14 ounces, which is a miracle in itself. It was a challenge, but you know, it was one that I loved every minute of it. It was just so wonderful having this little boy. And while he was a little, I was living in an apartment down in Sayre. And a Newberry, there used to be a big Newberry store down there. And they had this big brown metal thing. And they sold tickets. If you went in and bought something, they would give you this ticket. They'd keep half and throw it in that thing, and you'd take half, go home. You had to be at the place at the drawing. So I got my next-door neighbor to watch David while I went down, and I bought something, I don't know, 50 cents. Didn't make any difference how much you spent. They still gave you a ticket. So they threw that one ticket in the thing, and they gave me the other one. And it was a $25 gift certificate, which is a lot of money back then. And so then I had her watch him while I went down for the drawing, and you know what? Here's thousands of tickets in this thing. And out of that, they drew my ticket. So we needed that $25. Talk about God's grace and God's plan for your life. It's absolutely wonderful. So then I needed And I was thinking that you know, all I have ever needed, honest and truly, all I've ever needed, God has supplied. Always. Everything I needed. I didn't say I had everything we wanted, but everything I needed, we had. So anyway, I needed another job. I got laid off at the label factory, and I needed another job. So I applied at Westinghouse, and God's grace, I got the job. Okay? So then my landlady down in Waverly took care of David while I was working. That was a blessing. She was wonderful with him. So then when David was 2 years old, I decided to move to Elmira so I didn't have to ride that bus every day going back and forth to work. So I just called the pastor here at the church, having been a Seventh-day Adventist for 15 minutes, maybe. Having been a Seventh-day Adventist, I called the pastor here at the church and asked him if he knew anyone that would be a babysitter. And he told me that there was a lady lived behind the church in an apartment, and her name was Mabel. Do you remember Mabel Kelly? Okay, she had two daughters, and they were wonderful with David. They treated him so nice. She was a wonderful babysitter. Well, then I decided, and then we lived on Magnolia Street up here, and I would take a stroller with David, and we would come down to church, and she lived behind her. We'd come down here, and then I would get a ride with a couple that worked at Westinghouse. Nothing was easy, you know. I mean, you stop and think about it, but God gets you through all these things. This was God's plan, and just always moving forward in my life. So every morning, there's a couple would drive by us while we were walking down here, and it was a man and a woman, and they were trying to figure out how to get us a new stroller, because ours was pretty dilapidated stroller, okay? And they were trying to figure out how they were going to get us a stroller. Well, in the meantime, I decided to move. I wanted to get closer to work so I could walk. I didn't have to depend on someone. So I moved to Horseheads, in the apartments, by the way, where I'm living now, okay? It was amazing how things come around. After that, I found another babysitter. Her name was Elvira, and she had two children older, and they loved David. They took good care of him. I never had to worry about sitters. They were really wonderful. And then continuing with God's amazing plan and his amazing grace, we went from a beat-up stroller to a wagon, and I'd take David to Elvira's just behind the apartments and walk up the street behind Kmart to get to work at Westinghouse. Did that every day. I'm glad the Lord doesn't give up on us, by the way. So some morning, it was cold, some snowing, some rainy, in early spring, this man started driving by me very, very slow, okay? And then one morning, it was pouring rain, and he stopped and asked if I wanted a ride. I said, no, I don't. And he said, I promise. He said, it would be okay, I won't hurt you. And I had an umbrella in my hand, and I thought, man, okay, if he tries anything, I'll just hit him over the head with this umbrella. That was really my thought. I didn't feel real safe, but so by that time, I didn't want anything except just David and my job. But when he told me that, so I decided I would ride. So then from then that morning, he started picking me up in the mornings on the way to work, and he told me that his wife had passed away, that she had cancer. This is amazing how God works in your life when you let him. I mean, it's just wonderful. So I found out later that he stalked me, okay? He found out where I lived. He found out he knew where I worked. He found out where my babysitter was, and he found out where I shopped, because Grant's and there's a grocery store, and I used to put David in the wagon and put the groceries in there, and that's how we shopped. And so he asked me if I wanted to go out for dinner. I kind of hesitated. I was like, you know. And then he said, please, just go out for dinner just once. So we went out for dinner, and the rest of that part is really history, okay? David was now 3 years old, and for the first time he invited me out, I had one dress, okay? And so I went out for dinner once, and after that I thought, well, I'll invite him to come to our apartment to have dinner, okay? I didn't have any other dress to wear out, so. So he came, and the little boy next door to us said to David, is this your daddy? From that moment on, that was his dad. He didn't know his real father, so he had never has known him. So we were married, and you know, this is all God's grace. This is all part of his plan. We were married September 25th, 1963, and in December 1964, we had twins, beautiful baby boys. My life seemed complete. We only had a two-bedroom house, so Stu decided we should buy some property and build a house. That we did, okay? So we moved in December. While building it, we lived on Sage Street, and there was a woman there, and she had a little boy. And this little boy kept saying to our twins, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian. Well, our boys decided they wanted to be a Christian, whatever that meant. They had no idea. And she said, well, I'll take them to church with me on Sunday. I would tell you, once you're a Seventh-day Adventist, you know about the Sabbath, you just don't go to church on Sundays. And so I told her, I said, no, I said, that's okay. I said, I will start taking them to church. I didn't for a little bit, but I did, finally. So I just couldn't let them go on Sundays. So I kept telling the kids, I'll take you to church, I'll take you to church. I mean, they were 4 years old. They wanted to go to church, okay? They were still teasing to go to church, and we had moved in our house just before Christmas, and they were still teasing. So I kept promising, and finally in January we went to church. Now remember, Stu was not a Christian. He was an Episcopalian. But there's a difference between just going to church and being a Christian. Anyone can go to church, but you have to accept Christ to be a Christian. So anyway, we went to church, and I remember he wasn't a Christian, and he didn't mind that I was going to go to church until I told him I was taking him where I used to go, and we go to church on Sabbath or on Saturday. Well, I'm going to tell you, up to that point it was okay, but then it became a horse of a different color. He was not happy that we were going to go, and his first words were, why can't you go to church on Sunday like everybody else? So I tried to explain to him about the Sabbath, okay, and I said, it's in the Bible. So, he wasn't buying that. So Friday was preparation day. I made some supper sandwiches, and I said, if I was going to be a Seventh-day Adventist, I was going to be a Seventh-day Adventist all the way. So we made our meal the day before. So we went to the church at Sayre. That's where my stepfather and my mom went. So we went down there. And I didn't tell them we were coming. It was a big surprise for my stepfather and my mom. A big surprise. The kids loved it. They absolutely loved Sabbath school. You know, they just thought this was the greatest thing. So we got home, Stu, we had our sandwiches, and Stu off, and then had his beer with his sandwiches. And then we just moved in this neighborhood, and we had visitors. We didn't know them, and they didn't know us, but they said, being good neighbors, they were going to come and visit. So it was Frank and Betty Ziegler. Some of you will remember them, okay? And so they came up, and Stu was very gracious, okay? He offered Frank a beer. And Frank graciously said no. It was interesting. So we were talking, and finally Stuart, one of the twins, said, we went to church this morning. Well, it's not anything you necessarily tell your new neighbors when they're coming to visit. But Betty looked at me, and she said, are you a Seventh-day Adventist? I said, no. I said, well, yes. I wasn't sure if I was or wasn't at that point. So we talked, and she said, we're Seventh-day Adventists. And I didn't see you at church this morning. I said, oh, we went to Sayre. That's where my stepfather and my mom go. She said, oh, well, then I'm inviting you to come to the Elmira Church next Sabbath. And that has been where we have been coming ever since. Okay. And our children, our boys, our twins, David was 8, and Stuart and Stephen were 4 when we started coming here. Then Stu, the pastor would come, you know, Pastor Yule, a lot of you, if you remember him, he was great. He just never gave up, okay? And he would come to visit us. Stu, he would come in the front door, and Stu would go out the back. He wanted nothing to do with us. That's all there was to it. He was not interested. And he said, until, okay, and this is still God's plan going forward. It was that 6 months after I came, started coming, it was awful. I mean, he did everything he could to discourage us from going. But God has a plan, and he had a plan for my husband just as much as he did for us. Pastor Yule, one day we were getting ready for church, and Stu came out from the bedroom. He had his suit on, was putting on his tie. I said, what are you planning to do today? I had no clue. He says, I'm going to go down to church and find out who my kids are hanging out with. That was his whole idea. He didn't know. He might have been a Pentecostal. Who knows? We don't know what. He didn't know what we were. And so this was sort of a opening for the pastor. So that same week, pastor came up, and he came unannounced. He didn't call and say he was coming. And Stu couldn't escape, okay? And so the pastor, all Pastor Yule said to him was, Stu, why don't you do Bible studies for 6 months? And if you don't agree with what we're teaching, I'll never bother you again. 6 months later, he was baptized. I was rebaptized with him. Absolutely, talk about amazing grace. Isn't it wonderful how God works in our lives? So Pastor Yule, after that visit, after he got through studying, this is just the way we finish it up. It said, after we were baptized, we went to camp meetings. Didn't miss, that was our vacation, okay? Our children went down here to the church school. We went to Camp Cherokee. We sent them to Camp Cherokee every summer. And that's why Steve lives up there now. He said someday, when he was going to Camp Cherokee, he said, someday I'm going to live up here. And he does. He's been there now pretty close to 20 years. But a wonderful thing is that after our children, we had grandchildren. They came to church with us. You know, they went to camp meeting with us. Everything we did, we included them with it. We wanted them to know that this was God's church. And my niece was getting married to her, my husband's niece, and they were Catholics. And I thought, and I hadn't started church at that time, and I thought, I don't want them to see the Catholic Church as God's church. So I brought them down here to the church and brought them up. Bill, whatever his name, Bill and Marie?
Kaiser,
yeah. Old age. Bill was down here, and I told him what I was here for. I said, I want these children to see what God's real church looks like with all the statues and everything. I didn't want that to be their first impression of a church. So I just left that out, and I shouldn't have. So anyway, you know, for Stu, he had never prayed or, you know, never, ever talked to God about anybody. You know, not that he didn't believe, he just didn't know what he believed. But he became God's prayer warrior. He would go visiting with people with a pastor and, you know, anything. One time I remember when he first became a Christian, a woman asked him to pray, and he said, I couldn't. I didn't even know how to pray. And this was very early on, but he became God's prayer warrior. And he could give a sermon. His favorite sermon ever preached that he gave was about Mary Magdalene, the woman. You know, he just loved the story of how God converted her. So it was God's grace and his grace alone that has saved us. This is how God worked in our lives. But he is so willing to work in everyone's life that is willing to let him. You know, if we're willing, he's able. And you know what? We can sit here and say, oh, we don't have this testimony. Oh, yes, everyone here is here because of God's grace. It's the way it is. Young people, old people, God loves everyone. He doesn't care. So God is so patient. I love the way he worked in our lives. He's so loving. And if you want him to, he would take you out of the darkness of the world. And you know, sometimes we can sit right here in the church and still be in darkness. He does not want that. He wants to lead us into light. So all of our lives, you know, I want to read this little poem. It was written by a little girl that was 9 years old. And this was what she wrote. Know then that every soul is free to choose their life and what there'll be. For this eternal truth is given that God will force no one to heaven. He'll draw, persuade, direct them right, bless them with wisdom, love, and light. In nameless ways, be kind and good. Be good and kind, but he will never force the human mind. It is our choice that we make to serve him. And every day we make the choice of how we're going to serve him. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.